Next presenter is Mr. John North, and his presentation is entitled Impact of Early Season Management Decisions on Soybean Yield.
Good afternoon. My name is John North. I'm currently a PhD student at Mississippi State University under the advisement of Drs. Angus Ketchot and Jeff Gore. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the impact of early season management decisions on soybean yield. A lot of my master's was working with neonicotinoid insecticide seed treatments in soybeans. Throughout the Mid-South, we utilize neonicotinoid insecticide seed treatments a lot in all crops, including corn, cotton, rice, soybean, grain sorghum, wheat, and peanuts. We use these seed treatments throughout the Mid-South for our above-ground as well as below-ground insect pests. These can cause extensive damage in early season management situations, and these include soil insects such as white grubs, wireworms, lesser corn stalk borers, including our above-ground pests, including three-cornered alfalfa hoppers, bean leaf beetles, thrips, and in some situations in cover crops, pea weevil as well, that can cause extensive damage. What I found from my master's, this is published data from comparing neonicotinoid seed treatments versus just a base fungicide alone seed treatment. What we found was 135 kilogram per hectare advantage over where we had a neonic seed treatment versus a base fungicide alone seed treatment. This data was over 170 trials throughout the Mid-South, including the states of Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Louisiana. So with further soybean management adoptions throughout the Mid-South, we're seeing certain adoptions such as seed treatments, optimal versus late planting dates, when we're getting that soybean in the ground at a little bit earlier planting date now in the Mid-South, typically around April or so, as well as soybean plant populations, decreasing or increasing plant populations. So if we do have to deal with a stand loss, it kind of compensates for it. And this is mainly what I'm going to be talking to you today about. And as well as precision planting, when we're getting that seed in the ground a lot earlier, we're wanting a good uniform stand, therefore precision planting is coming into effect as well when planting soybeans throughout the Mid-South. So my first objective was to look at the effect of stand loss on soybean yield at different plant populations and timings of plant loss. We had two different locations, a Hills region and Delta region, with three different trials, two trials being in the Mississippi Delta and one trial being in the Hills. We set it up with a randomized complete block with factorial arrangement of treatments, factor A being plant populations, which we had six different plant populations ranging from 75, 100, 125, 150, 175, and 200,000 plants per acre. Factor B included the levels of stand loss. We had a 0% stand loss, 20% stand loss, and 40% stand loss. Let me go ahead and set this up for you. What we did is I packaged seed for cone planters, and when we did it at a 0% stand loss, we were mixing Liberty Link seed and Roundup Ready seed. So our 0% stand loss, I would mix 0% Liberty Link seed, and then so forth, 20 and 40, using those particular plant populations, doing 20% and 40% Liberty Link seed with Roundup Ready seed, and then going back at our different stand loss timings at V1 and V4 soybean growth stages with Roundup applications to remove that Liberty Link seed, therefore resembling a stand loss at each of those percents. Data were also analyzed with ANOVA using PROC-GLEMIX. However, there was no difference in timing of stand loss, V1 or V4. So we analyzed data completely across the board for each trial and all three trials in the regions. And at 0% stand loss, which you can see at our lowest plant population where there was no stand loss, we actually had our highest yield in soybean seed. Therefore, whenever we increased plant population, we actually decreased yield across soybean treatments. As a 20% stand loss, you can see at our lowest plant population, we actually did lose soybean yield. However, when increasing that plant population, we actually increased soybean yield, especially at our higher soybean plant population, which would have been 200,000 seed per acre, which accumulates to 494,000 seed per hectare. At our 40% stand loss, we had a significant relation between kilograms per hectare and plant population as well. We had a dramatic loss of yield from soybean when we had that when we had our lowest soybean plant population, and actually increased yield as we had our high soybean plant population. Therefore, at the lowest soybean population, when losing that 40% stand loss, it actually hurt it more, and plants couldn't compensate as much as when we did have that higher plant population. Those plants actually compensated for our 40% stand loss and actually yielded higher. From a net return standpoint, this is all seed cost included and everything. It had the exact same trend line as our yield did for 0%, as you can see, where we had our lowest soybean plant population per hectare, we had our highest net return. And as we increased plant population per hectare, we actually decreased and lost money on net return. From the 20 and 40% stand loss at our lowest plant population, at 20% and 40%, we had a lower net return at our lowest plant population per hectare. And actually, as we increased soybean seed, it actually increased yield from plant population to net return. And I conclude this graph to where if you increase soybean seed per hectare, you can actually make profit. However, at a 20% and 40% stand loss, if you do not have this stand loss, you will actually lose money when trying to compensate for a stand loss. And if you don't have the stand loss, you're actually going to lose net return. My second objective included the effect of plant population, seed treatments, and planting date on maximizing yield of soybean. For this, it was the exact same setup, two locations in the Delta and Hills region, set up with a randomized complete block with a factorial arrangement of treatments. Factor A included plant populations at 75, 100, 125, 150, 175, and 200,000 plants per acre. Factor B included seed treatments. We had three different seed treatments: a completely untreated soybean seed, a fungicide alone treatment on soybean seed, and a neonic plus a fungicide treatment on seed. And planting date was incorporated as well, as at an optimal planting date and a late planting date. Data were analyzed with ANOVA using ProcGlimix as well. From a mid-May planting date, which was our earlier planting date, fungicide only and untreated soybean seed actually yielded higher than Cruiser. And as we increased plant population per hectare, we actually decreased in yield per soybean seed. However, Cruiser did yield lower on this graph with the lowest seeding rate. However, we were able to stabilize yield across all six different plant populations when we used that neonic seed treatment. Same with the later planting date, our mid-June planting date, we had the complete opposite. We actually yielded lower with our fungicide only and untreated soybean seed at our lowest plant population per hectare, and increased as we increased yield as we increased plant population per hectare. And also in the exact same Cruiser also stabilized yield and even increased in yield as we went from that lowest plant population per hectare to our highest plant population per hectare. So what I can gather from this is yields were maximized at lower plant populations when there was no stand loss that occurred. As stand loss occurred, yields benefited from higher plant populations. Regardless of planting date, insecticide seed treatments did stabilize yield across all six plant populations per hectare. On optimal planting dates, yield was penalized by higher plant populations where there was no insecticide seed treatment. And on our later planting dates, the seed treatment stabilized yield on all plant populations across all six of them. And fungicide only and untreated benefited from higher plant populations when there was a stand loss that occurred. So what I can gather from this in conclusion is it is possible to compensate for stand loss by increasing seeding rate. However, there are going to be risks when you do increase that seeding rate to benefit from a stand loss. If you do not particularly have a stand loss, you will suffer in net returns and lower yields. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
questions, anybody?
Yes, sir.
Can you predict stand loss?
So the question was, can I predict stand loss? No, sir, there is no way to predict stand loss. It's just one of those preventative applications we try to do where if we do have that stand loss, we're already prepared for it. And, I mean, there are certain things you can do. I mean, scouting fields. If you do have a cover crop that insects are in, you can scout the cover crops. If you do have an insect present, you can put a neonic seed treatment on it, as well as burn down timings. A lot of, you know, these cover crops are willing to applicate the burn downs a few weeks before so that pest isn't right there when that soybean plant is coming out of the ground and it's, and you're taking a toll on stand loss. But just from a preventative standpoint, there is no particular way to know when you're going to have a stand loss for insects, weather, anything like that.
Any more questions?
All right. Thank you for your time.